Thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. Well, in this episode of FEA Today, I want to take the time to consider the importance of simplicity. And I begin by looking at Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and begin reading with verse 3, where the Apostle Paul writes through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "But I fear," he writes to these Corinthian believers, "lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." We find here from the biblical text that Paul feared that believers become drawn away from simplicity in Christ. And I believe that this has become a reality, especially in today's church. Simplicity is something that is so underrated, if you will, and so much of our lives have become so complex. So much of the doctrine that we hear is overly complex. I think so many believers are just becoming discouraged. I think they have been drawn away from the simplicity in Christ. This text here in 2 Corinthians 11 is really sometimes referred to as the perfect preaching text because it's really a three-point outline. There's the possibility that believers can be drawn away to another Jesus, another spirit, or even another gospel. And yet the truth laid out in these verses and the warning that is found here through the pen of the Apostle Paul, as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, I think is more important to grasp today than at any time in history. Here's the thesis or the basic idea that Paul is desiring to get across. He's saying, "I am fearful that while you will not embrace and live out the simplicity in Jesus Christ, you will tolerate error that has come to you subtly in the guise of Christianity." Now, if we were to look at the context and notice the first two verses of 2 Corinthians 11, we find that Paul wanted to present these believers to Christ as those who were pure and holy and spiritually mature. We read in verse 1, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy," Paul writes. "For I have espoused you to one husband," notice that, "I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And then he continues, "But I fear, lest as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from," notice, "the simplicity that is in Christ." Sadly, the Corinthian believers had not only allowed immorality and immoral fleshly living to characterize their lives, which Paul deals with in his first letter to the church at Corinth, but they had become enamored by false teachers and false teaching as well. They had a history of carnality, but much of this carnality stemmed from the embracing of doctrinal error or theological false teaching as well. So, by way of introducing this idea of simplicity and the value of simplicity that is in Christ, we want to begin by looking at several applicable truths that we can apply to our hearts and lives and ministries just from these two verses, verses 3 and 4. The first thing we have to grasp is that Satan is doing what he can with the time he has to do as much damage as possible to the will and the work of God. Now, keep in mind, Satan is not omniscient. He does not know when his time is up yet. He does not know when the Lord will return. And I believe he knows he will not be victorious in the end, but what he is endeavoring to do today is to bring down as many as he can. What exactly does he do in the here and now in this world? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he's described as the God of this world. And the Apostle John describes him in John 12, 31 and John 14, 30 as the prince of this world. What does this mean? Well, this means he has a great influence over the hearts and minds of men and women in the culture in which we find ourselves today. He is the little g God of this world, the prince of this world, influencing the hearts and minds of individuals. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, we find that he blinds the minds of those who believe not. So he somehow influences man to trust in his own thoughts, his own feelings, or his own reasonings rather than in Jesus Christ. He seeks to blind the minds of those who believe not. This is an overt attack against those who know not Christ. He desires to keep it that way. But we also know from the rest of Scripture, particularly the New Testament epistles, that this God of this world, this prince of this world, as he's described in Scripture, also seeks to devour the faith and testimony of believers. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Peter is telling the believers, and he's telling us today, to be wary, to be vigilant, because he walks around as a roaring lion. He's our adversary, seeking whom he may devour. Peter writes, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So the God of this world is doing what he can. The prince of this world is doing what he can, not only to blind the minds of unbelievers, but to make believers, to render believers, Christians, useless for Jesus Christ. Some of the ways in which he does this, the Apostle Paul mentions in Ephesians 6. He hurls fiery darts at believers, and we've talked about this on previous episodes of FEA Today. He hurls these fiery darts. We talked about some of these darts in the past, darts of doubt, darts of discouragement, darts of distraction. So we know from the text here that Satan is doing what he can do with the time he has to do as much damage as possible to the will and the work of God through blinding the minds of unbelievers and attempting to devour or shipwreck the faith of believers. Now, we also can tell and apply from this text the reality that his tactics are subtle. I don't know how Satan does it, but in concert with every person's sin nature and the godless culture around us, there is a craftily influential way that Satan seeks to advance his cause. And the Bible tells us he will be very successful in accomplishing this as the church age progresses. Now, if we were going to go back to Genesis chapter 3, and Paul refers to this, we notice the methods that he used in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, but I fear as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity in Christ. So notice the methods that Satan used in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. We begin reading at verse 1. We read, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And then in verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So notice the method Satan used in the garden with Eve. First of all, he employed simply an ordinary serpent, nothing spectacular, an ordinary serpent. And I think even today, Satan is intent on using the common, ordinary things to draw us away from the truth, to corrupt our minds from the simplicity and that it is in Christ. It could be just teachers, it could be pastors, it could be friends, it could be acquaintances, co-workers who are filling our minds with that which is not faithful to the word of God. So Satan employed an ordinary serpent, and then we find from verse 1 of chapter 3 that he used doubt. Doubt. Doubt was planted by the serpent in the seed of a question. Now, there is nothing wrong with asking a question, but we must be very aware that oftentimes Satan begins with a question as a way to plant doubt. In the day and age in which we live, The trend is to rethink our theology, to rethink our methods, to rethink our beliefs, our doctrines, our behavior. And again, to rethink in itself is not a sin, but Satan will often use this to plant doubt concerning the truth. So he employs an ordinary serpent, he uses doubt, and then he distorts the truth from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. He distorts the truth. Now notice, the majority of the truth was still there. They were allowed to eat from most trees. So the serpent says to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The majority of the truth was still there. They were allowed to eat from most trees. Yet even by distorting the truth a fractional amount, God's clear commands were compromised. So he uses doubt, he distorts the truth, and then by the time we get to verse 4, which we read, he outright denies the truth. "Ye shall not surely die." Outright contradiction of God's commands. That's really the ultimate end of Satan's method. That's the ultimate end, outright contradiction. God really doesn't say this. He didn't really say this. You know, we live in a day in which many outright contradictions are being embraced by professing Christians. The Word of God declares such and such, and through subtlety and doubt and distortion of truth, believers and sadly pastors and Bible teachers and Christian leaders are reaching a point where they are outright denying the truth of what the Word of God declares. So we find this very clearly in by way of application from 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. Satan's doing what he can with the time he has to do as much damage as possible. His tactics are subtle. And yet we have to understand today that the battle begins and ends in the mind. You see, we can rationalize any thought, any feeling, any emotion, or any behavior with our mind. We are people who attempt to rationalize with our mind. God knows this, and so we're exhorted throughout Scripture, align your mind with the mind of Christ and guard your thinking. Over and over throughout the Word of God, we find this. Align your mind. Put on the mind of Christ. Guard your thinking. Guard the truth. The underlying foundation here we'll talk about in our next episode, really, though, is the simplicity that is in Christ. I've said this before. Salvation is simple. I'm not saying it's easy. The Christian life is simple. It's simple to understand what God desires of us. That's not to say it's easy, but there is a simplicity in Christ. And Satan desires to make very complex for us that which is simple. Well, Lord willing, in the next episode of FEA Today, we'll continue looking here at this text and considering the simplicity that is in Christ, the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of Bible teaching concerning Christian living according to the grace of God and yieldedness to the one true Holy Spirit. But until then, I thank you so much for joining us for this episode of FEA Today, and I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you.